You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey everybody, we are back today with a podcast episode over the good news of the gospel. We're super excited to be talking about what salvation means. We understand that some of you are likely already brothers and sisters in Christ, so that is awesome, and we're so happy that you are listening to our messages so faithfully. We love all of you, and we love to just talk about what the Lord puts on our hearts, but we hope that even though you are already a born-again believer, that this message would not be a stale or stagnant, old or boring topic to you. That the matter of salvation should always excite us and just fuel us on in our mission to bring the good news of the gospel to others around us who are perishing. So, having said that, I pray that if you are already a believer and you rejoice in that, we rejoice with you, and you know, we're just so grateful that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But we would also ask you, if there are people in your life who are not yet born again, that maybe you would pass this message on to them so that they could listen and have a hopefully clear understanding after we're finished with explaining the gospel, and that they would make a decision to turn their lives over to Christ and come into the kingdom and the family of God. So Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. As the body of Christ, we are those messengers, and we are on a mission to bring forth the good news of the gospel to those who are still in the darkness. So our message is going to be to encourage you as the believers to go out into this dark world and shine your light. So having said that, Will is about to start off with giving us a clear-cut and easy way that we can share our faith with others.
Hey guys, just this is something that I've used a lot whenever I give the gospel, and also I just try to practice it when I'm going down the road. There's an easy way that you can learn things. There's when you learn scripture, and there's certain tactics you can use. The one I use, I like acronyms, so I use the acronym, the word gospel, as an acronym to give the gospel. So, and that's an easy way for you to remember it. Just spell out the word gospel, and I'm going to show you each letter on what it means to give the gospel. So this is an easy way for you to do it. And, you can tweak it any way you want. This is something that you can use. So the presentation of the gospel by using the word gospel. G, we start with G, God. Who is God? God is, He is our creator. He is our savior. He is our friend. He is our judge. There are so many things. He is the Alpha and Omega. But there's one thing that separates God from any other being ever, is that He is holy. He is holy. And we see that in the scriptures where they sing at the throne of God, the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And so this brings out, holiness means set apart. So God is set apart. He is our creator, so that we must see that, and so that we can understand that He is good and just, but He is holy. And so when you look at who God is, we got to look at who man is. And that is the next letter, is O, is our nature. We were originally, in Adam and Eve, was made good. We were made for relationship with God. We were made for fellowship. God gave mankind, which is Adam and Eve, everything that they needed to live. And He, most importantly, He gave Himself to them, where they had access to Him at any time. In fact, He walked with them in the cool of the garden. And so we have this nature that we have. This nature is perfect and just because he made us that way. Adam and Eve were good. And yet there was something that happened. What happened to mankind to lose separation, to lose this fellowship that we have, this thing that God gave man, this beautiful gift of being with him, is that God put two trees in the garden, correct? And because of those two trees, God says, one of those you shall not eat from. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God gave them their first command, their first law, per se, that to not do. And he loved Adam and Eve. He loves mankind. But yet, there was something that happened where Satan came down as the serpent and tempted Eve. And because he tempted Eve, Eve tempted and brought forth Adam. So they came together and ate from this tree. And the greatest lie ever told, but God, did God really say? And he told this and he manipulated the situation with Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve partook in this, this separated Adam and Eve because they broke the first law, the first command of God was to not eat from this tree. And they took and they broke it. And because they broke it, God came down to confront them. They had a chance at this moment to redeem that sin. They didn't know what sin was, but they see it now, the consequences. This is where God now, he's asking this question, where are you? He knew where they were at, but they were hiding from God. But this is the thing, is something that we still do today because sin has been passed along to mankind, to everyone, is that they did not take, Adam as the head did not take responsibility. He pushed it off on someone else. He pushed it off on Eve. And of course, Eve pushed it off on Satan. So the understanding of this is that we never take, when we look at our sinful selves, we never take responsibility. We always try to throw it on someone else. And that's what Adam and Eve did. But and see, and this is the thing, because of this, God says, you cannot be in my presence any longer. Why? Because we remember, God is holy. He's holy and he's just. He has to punish sin. And because of this, he kicked them out of the garden. And from that point forward, mankind was born into sin because of this curse that Adam and Eve laid on mankind. Would we do the same thing? Absolutely. Adam and Eve wouldn't have done something that we would not have done. I know myself would have probably done the exact same thing. So because we are finite, we don't know and understand the all of God, but yet he has given us this opportunity to understand him. And we broke that. And today, but yet this is the beautiful thing. So we go from G-O, what caused it? It was the sin of the serpent. And so now, how do we have reconciliation? What did God do to bring mankind back to himself? He sent Jesus. So this P is propitiation. Propitiation is because God is a holy God. His anger and justice burns against sin. And he has sworn that sin will be punished. But there must be a satisfactory payment for sin. That's the word propitiation. But God said, if I punish man for his sin, man will die and go to hell. On the other hand, if I don't punish man for his sin, my justice will never be satisfied. So God is perfect. So he had to make this perfect way for mankind to have reconciliation. And that was Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus, the fully God-man, he was God and he was man. And because of that, he came down and fulfilled the laws that God put on mankind, the Mosaic law. But yet, within that system, it was still mankind could not obey it. So yet Jesus came down and he obeyed it. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And because of that perfect Lamb of God, he died a sinless, he was completely sinless, and he crawled on that cross for mankind. And when he crawled on that cross to take the full punishment of God for man's sin, that at that moment when he resurrected and he beat death, man has a chance now to be reconciled back to the Father through Jesus. And when Jesus resurrected, he beat death, but now we have a chance to beat death. Because we beat death, now we have a chance to live a right, a righteous life when Jesus says, for you to be holy, because I am holy. And that holiness, we can honor God in our life now because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so we look at who did he do that for? We go to E, everyone. For God so loved the world that you got to realize that he loved us. He's given us this opportunity to come to us and we can receive and believe what Christ did on the cross for us. He did that for every single soul on earth. So it's everyone. And so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, the most famous verse ever. So we look at that everyone. That means you. It doesn't matter. We cannot fix ourselves. He did this so that we can come to him dirty. We can come to him broken, and he will put us back together. Why did he do this? L, the last letter of the gospel, is love. So love. He did this because he loves us. In fact, it's a beautiful thing to know that for God so loved the world, the very world that that hates God, that is his enemies, he died for his enemies. So that this love, this beautiful love, is not a fickle love. It's not a love to leave you where you're at. It's a love to transform you into a new creation, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So that we can be what God made us, originally made us for in the garden, to have this right relationship, to have this beautiful fellowship with God. We are now have been given this beautiful gift of reconciliation that we can give to others. And that's what I'm giving you today, is this gift of reconciliation to the Father and through Jesus Christ. And he will give you his Holy Spirit to move into you, into the temple of God, because that's what your body is. It's what it was made for. So that you can live this life for him, to build the kingdom of God and to have this beautiful relationship with our Lord. So today is the day of salvation. If this message resonates with you, you are feeling this moment that you are now a sinner because you've always been it, but you now recognize it. You can come to him. You can humble yourselves and come to him because you cannot do it on your own. Grace is given to us because we don't deserve it, but is given to us so that we can become who God wants us to become.
That's right. Amen. Wow, what a powerful presentation of the gospel. And hopefully for anyone listening today, maybe you'll go back and listen to this a couple of times and use this method with others, because that was a very thorough and very good explanation of the gospel. And so something that we also want to talk about here is the American gospel, I guess I would say.
Yes.
That we hear a weak gospel message for the most part. And what I mean by that is that, especially for us here in the South, in the Bible Belt where we live, there's a church on every corner, and everybody in this area that attends a Sunday morning service would say that they are saved. They've heard the gospel. They have, said a prayer. And that is the way that the gospel is usually presented, in a way. We have youth programs and kid camps and things like that. And they are presented this message of basically, like, you don't want to go to hell, so here's what you do to get out of it, right?
Right.
And we hear this message that, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins on the cross. Repeat after me this prayer, and you're saved and good to go. Now, how many people have heard that message and have a false sense of security now because nothing else followed up after that message? How many children have gone forth to an altar call and said this prayer and didn't really understand what they were doing, said the prayer because all of their friends were doing it, or even adults? I mean, a mass, Billy Graham or Greg Laurie type, evangelistic outreach thing. How many people have said this message and or this you know, this prayer, where is that in the Bible?
Well, the thing is that no one ever talks about the cost.
That's right.
And the cost of what, when Jesus died on the cross for us, it cost Jesus everything. It cost the Father to actually turn away from him.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest things that when Jesus, he knew in the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever he was, you know, sweating and he was in tears, but he was sweating blood. Mm-hmm. He had so much, you know, stress on him, knowing that the Father, that he became sin who knew no sin.
That we might become the righteousness of God.
That's right. And he, the thing, it wasn't the beatings that we saw in the Passion of the Christ, the movie. Yes, those beatings were horrific. Mm-hmm. But it was the time when the Father actually had to turn away because he took the sins of the world on himself, so that the Father could not look on the sins of the world on Christ. So he had to turn away from him. So that right there, when we see that it cost Jesus everything, but it doesn't cost us anything, that message is not true. Mm-hmm. It does cost us everything. In fact, we were bought with a high price. Our life should be is a high price, right? Our life is really, we must be unashamed of the gospel.
That's right.
And we must live accordingly.
Well, let's see what Jesus himself had to say. You know, a lot of times we just disregard so much of what Jesus said. And that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, we add in what typical church doctrine is, or denominational understanding of what salvation is.
And we don't consider the source of salvation himself. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus tells us about the cost of being a disciple. It says, a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So Jesus distinguishes that if we are going to follow him, we are called his disciple. This is not to a select few. This is to every person who names the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are called to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. So there is a great cost involved with that. And Jesus himself said, do not begin until you have counted the cost. Do y'all hear that in the present day salvation message? No. We're never told to consider the cost. In fact, we're given a weak, watered-down version of the gospel that says that it will cost us nothing, that Jesus paid everything, which he did. We'll just explain that. He paid everything with the highest price, his life. So it is going to cost us something. Jesus gives us so many other warnings where he tells us that we will suffer greatly for his name. He suffered for us. How can we expect to not suffer for him? We are told that we will lose relationships, that people, you know, that are in our own house will become our biggest enemies. We are told that he came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword of division. We are told that there are going to be goats and sheep, that there are going to be those who grow up with us saying that they are believers in him, but he is going to say to them at the end that, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. So also, I wanted to say one more thing, and then I know Will has some comments, Jesus, another parable that Jesus gave was the parable of the sower. And the one that I'm going to read, it's in three of the Gospels, but I'm going to read the one out of Luke 8. Starting in chapter 4, it says that a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, and he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path where it was trampled, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the seedlings withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the seedlings. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it sprang up and produced a crop 100-fold. And Jesus, as Jesus said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He just said that in the one that I read before that as well. He says, "For whoever has ears to hear, let him hear," a lot. It's even in Revelation. Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "The knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Now this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seeds along the path are those who hear, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The seeds on rocky ground are those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a season, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seeds that fell among the thorns are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and their fruit does not mature. But the seeds on good soil are those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, cling to it, and by persevering produce a crop. So we just want to implore everyone today to consider the cost before you say, "Yes, Lord," to following Christ, because there is a cost involved. But it is the greatest joy and privilege and honor to be a child of God, mm-hmm. and an ambassador mm-hmm. for the kingdom of Christ and God. So we have to understand that this good news of the gospel is going to fall on different types of hearts, okay? And the heart that truly heeds the message, hears the message, understands the message, and takes it to heart, applies it to their life, says, "Yes, Lord," considers the cost, and follows him, produces fruit, and remains faithful. That is the one who is a true born-again child of God. And in our next message, we're going to do that over sanctification. So we're going to talk about exactly what it means to be faithful and fruitful to Jesus in your walk with him.
And refer back to John 15, please. Refer back to John 15. When you go and you read the parable of the soils, you need to read what it means to be fruitful. You need to mean that Jesus really means that. And we need to take his words over Charles Stanley, over Billy Graham, over all these other people that are out there that give a message that takes the parable of the soils and makes it what it's not.
Yeah.
Because they do, by the way. And I trust Jesus over any of those men.
That's right. And you should too. There is so much danger in trusting man. We don't even want you to just trust what we're saying. Get into God's word. Be a Berean. Seek and study for yourself. Get away from man-made doctrines and denominational lenses that have taught you things, especially if you have been taught that there is no cost to following Christ, you have been given a false gospel.
Oh man, you've been deceived from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
Jesus, she's talking about disciples. Jesus never calls his disciples just Christians. In fact, he never uses the word Christian. Christian is not used until in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. And it was a derogatory statement toward the way.
Yeah.
The way. And that's what the group of followers of Jesus were called, was the way. Do I not call myself a Christian? I do. I'm a Christ follower. But at the same time, there's no two sets of categories, right? There's no category that says I'm just a Christian and not a disciple.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, you should be a disciple.
Right.
Disciple first, because that's what Jesus used. He used that term. You're an apprentice sitting underneath a journeyman. And he never uses anything other than that. he uses the term disciple. He was their rabbi, and they were training to be like him. So you have to get into that mindset. What we have today, where you can say that you can say a prayer and you can be a Christian without being a disciple, is a lie. Mm-hmm. It's not in the Word of God. Not in any. There's nowhere in anywhere in the Word that talks like that. So, one thing I want to say real quick about discipleship. Everything is tethered. When justification is tethered to sanctification, you can't have one without the other. If you say you're justified, and we're going to talk about justification, like she said, on the next podcast.
Sanctification
on the next podcast. If you're justified, you cannot divorce sanctification. You can't skip over it to go to glorification. All connected. They're tethered together. If you break that tether, then you need to go back and see if you're truly justified. That's the thing. And see, salvation in itself, we don't deserve it. We all deserve hell.
Yes.
We deserve hell. We don't deserve anything more than that. But yet, God, He loves us, and He's given this beautiful way for us to have that that justification. We can be justified. But when we're going to, what we're saying, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, and it's in, Ephesians 2, and it says, and I'm going to read it real quick. How much time do we have? 20 or 5. Okay. And you, He made alive, and you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace was not given to us. It is a beautiful gift, but it was not given to us so that we can live in sin and call grace, grace. No, grace empowers us to live a holy life. Grace is also is the ones that are faithful to God. Grace is poured even more on us. When we make a mistake, we are covered, but we learn from that mistake. We don't wallow in our mistakes and say that we're just covered and live our life accordingly. That is what we call hyper grace. And that's what we call today most churches are in. They use the word grace as a license to sin. And this is not what we're called to do. We must repent of our sins and walk forward in His beautiful grace.
Amen. That's exactly right. So as we finish up this message, we are going to go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. As God's fellow workers, then, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the time of favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Mm.
So that is our what we leave you with, and that is what we implore you to today, that today would be the day of salvation, that this glorious grace that you have received would not be received in vain, that you would repent of sin, turn to Christ wholeheartedly, consider the cost, pick up your cross, and follow after Him daily. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Seek Him with all your heart, and He promises that you will find Him.
Mm.
Until next time, y'all have a good rest of your day.
God bless you. Go share Jesus with someone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.